All right, this is Abundant Grace Fellowship. Sunday morning, 12/26/21. What does it mean to be holy? I laugh about Danny's grandfather. He was a Assembly of God preacher, and he'd talk about the holy women, you know, the Pentecostal holiness women. They'd have a bun on the top of their head. They wouldn't wear any makeup or shave their legs and wore long skirts. He'd say, long hair, long skirts, and long tongues. Is that what it means to be holy? Is it about outward things? No. Why did God move out of the box? Because it was just a regulation that could not make the people who partook of it holy or righteous. So he knew he had to do it. Righteousness comes from the inside. And we're going to look at that today. You might be surprised at what it means to be holy. We're going to look at a few scriptures right quick. In fact, don't turn. Just listen. Let me do it because I'm very fast at it. I'm very good at that. So I'm going to read these, and then we're going to get into the meanings of these scriptures. But I just want you to see that these different scriptures talks about being holiness, or being walking in holiness, or being holy. All right, Romans 1:4. If you read that chapter of Romans, it tells you, you could read it as the state of the nation. Yeah. All right, this is Romans 1:4. And declared to the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are called as Christ was holy, we are called to a walk of being holy. Okay, we're going to look how we get there. Romans 6:19. So many places that we've been, especially one particularly when we were very young, it was all about the outward. We wore long dresses and head coverings. Yeah, a bunch of stupid stuff. Didn't know any better. All right. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So this tells me this is something you yield to. You either yield to unholiness and unrighteousness, or you yield to godliness and holiness. It's a lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 7. All right, this whole chapter really, but I'm just going to read just a little bit of it. Starting with verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So how do we cleanse ourselves? Anybody got a clue how you cleanse yourself? Y'all are all looking at me like a calf at a new gate, like you don't have glue. All right, let's keep going. We're going to get a picture here as we keep reading. Ephesians chapter 4. And let me tell you, it's not a leap of faith, it's a walk. It's a slow step at a time. All right, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What's the new man? What's the new man? What happens when you're born again? You become a new man. Your spirit becomes born again. Your spirit is dead. See, when Adam fell, they died spiritually that day. That's why their natural bodies began to die. But in Jesus, he revived that spirit man. And when you become born again, you become alive. The real you becomes alive. And a new life begins. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 3. Y'all need to get you a Strong's Concordance or get it on your phone. And when you, you know, when you look at scriptures, don't just read the surface. Start picking out words and start running those scriptures and seeing what it says about things. It'll change your perspective about what God's word says. That's how you learn to study the word. That's when you're going to see real growth in your life, when you study the word. Because most people, they go, and they think, what did you read? I don't know. Now, this is about studying, because the word of God is like, the word says it's medicine to all your flesh. It'll quicken your mortal body. It'll do all kinds of things. And it's not always fun. But you go to school and put yourself through agony to get that education, stuff you hate, stuff you don't want to learn, some piece of paper that really doesn't do anything for you. It may help you get a better job, get a little money, but does it do anything for your inside, the real you? No, the real you is the spirit man. I heard Kenneth Copeland say one time that he saw people standing in front of him getting prayed for, and he said, I think that's who it was. He said they look like, some people were big and fat, and their spirit looks like a stick person. He said your spirit fills your whole body. It's like this is your coat, and your spirit fills your whole body. In other words, you need a big fat spirit. He said a lot of people had big fat brains, but their spirit was a stick person, starving to death. They got one cold snack a week, but they got three or four meals a day. We need to understand these things. This isn't just cliche. This is just not just, this is what Christians do. No, I don't know many Christians that really know what Christians are supposed to be doing and how they were supposed to be taught and how they were supposed to act. I don't know very many. Do you? I don't see many that really get answers to prayer, really walk the walk. They just talk a good talk. I want to see the real deal. Okay. Holy Spirit knows what we need today. All right, 4:24. There is not a 4:24. Just a minute. 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh, here we go again. All right. Let me keep going here. Let me see 3. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. All right, let's keep going. 1 Timothy 2:15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So this is a lifestyle. This is a mode of living. Okay, holiness. The word holiness means purification or a state of purity. All right, Hebrews 12. Verse 10. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Peace with all men. You know how you keep peace? You know how you keep peace with all men? Hold your peace. Well, I got my say. I got a right to tell you what I think about you all the time. No, you don't. Do you know that you're not any business of your own? I mean, you're submitted to God. God changes you. God tells you what you do or what you haven't done, what you need to do. You should not even critique yourself. Because all that does is make you feel bad about yourself, and then you feel like you're a failure and you don't want to go on. I'm telling you this because I have been there. We've all been there. You are none of your business, because what is this one song we sang? It's only by grace. This whole walk is about grace. The whole walk is about letting the Holy Ghost do a work within you. You know what holiness really is? Okay, Lord, I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to read my Bible, renew my mind. I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and I'm going to let you change me. And I'm going to quit trying to change myself. That's the biggest favor you could ever do for yourself. And wherever you are, accept where you are. Accept what the Word says about He says about you, which is all positive. And then on the other hand, when you do that, it will set you so free that you will not even have the desire to critique anybody else or change anybody else or tell somebody else what they ought to be doing. If you can't fix yourself, how are you going to fix anybody else? It's not possible. I'm telling you, this is how you get free as a Christian. That's how you can love. You can absolutely just love people no matter what state they're in, because you have learned God accepts me. He loves me. He knew all my ins and outs. He knew every sin that I'd ever commit before I ever was born, and He took it on His cross. He nailed it to that tree, it says. So, that released me, released you from any guilt, any shame, anything you'll ever commit. Living in this, I got to repent, I said something wrong, I did something wrong constantly. Well, you're not going to be a victorious Christian living that way. If you miss it, just say, sorry, Lord, you know me well. He said, yeah, I know you. But I don't see that there's anything wrong with you. I don't see you with any blame. So don't carry shame. Before the children of Israel went in, God told Joshua, today I roll the reproach off of you. Why? They couldn't go in and conquer the land and believe God with shame on their backs. What'd they see? They saw their parents die out because they were such a hard-headed, stiff-necked bunch, and they wouldn't listen to God, they wouldn't obey God. But God gave them a clean slate and said, okay, this day, I see no blame in you. If you're born again and you're His, He sees you like He sees Jesus. You're in Christ, right? So when God sees you, what does He see? He sees Christ. And who is inside of us? Our hope of glory? Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we're being transformed from glory to glory, being transformed into His image. That's what the Word does, whether you like it or not, you understand it or not, read it. Because your spirit understands it, and your spirit is what changes. And then when your spirit starts maturing, it'll change that outward, and it'll change you mentally. And you'll see things differently. So quit trying to change yourself. Give yourself a royal break today. And remember, God loves you. And if you sin, say, sorry, Lord. You think He doesn't know it? You think He didn't know it? You think He didn't know it before you did it? No, we already took it to the cross. I said, I know they're going to do this back in 2021. And so there it is up there. I'll take it for them. Same way with sickness and disease. He has healed all sickness, all disease for all kind. We've just had the devil's bunch manufacturing it, doing their best to knock us out and take us out. But the truth be known, whenever all this devil bunch are in the pit, there won't be any more sickness, disease. Go read Isaiah. It talks about there won't be anything that harms and hurt in all my holy mountain. A child can put their hand in the adder's nest and not even be bit. The lamb will lay down with the lion. All this curse, all this crud will be gone. I'm looking forward to that. All right, holiness. Holiness also means sanctity, sacredness, reverence, piety. And we're going to look at those through in the vines, just a few. Explain so you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about here. Holiness means purification, a state of purity, a separation to God. The resultant state of that, the conduct befitting those so separated. We should be so separated When you see Christians that just do anything and everything, I question their salvation. Because I know when I got born again, there was a difference. If there's no difference, something's wrong. And you don't just get born again when you want to. The Holy Ghost has to draw that person. So there's a time. There isn't a, well, they gave an altar call and everybody went down there and prayed a corporate prayer. Well, do I believe everybody got saved? No, I don't. Not from some corporate prayer. The Holy Ghost has to draw you. I remember the day I was born again. I was 11 years old. I was in a Methodist church on a Easter Sunday, and I remember my cousin was standing beside me. And I couldn't tell you one thing the preacher said, but when the altar call came, I had that tug at my heart. And I asked her, would she walk down there with me? And she said, no. The next thing I know, I'm standing down there, and I don't know how I got there. I went home, climbed up on the clothesline, and sang hymns all day. There was a change. I felt it. It was like the heavens rolled back. I don't know how... There was a change. All right. The conduct befitting those separated. Sanctification is thus the state predetermined by God for believers, into which in grace he calls them, and in which they begin their Christian course and so pursue it, set apart to God. So when you become born again, you are now set apart to God. He has a divine destiny. He has a plan all laid out from the beginning to the end. And he's saying to you, okay, child, if you'll trust me, I'll lead you and I'll work the plan in you. It's not our plan. You think I plan to do what I've been doing? Heck no. I'm not griping about it. I'm just saying. We don't choose that. God chooses that. You don't have to go to a cemetery to do that. You just have to listen to God. Okay. The manifestation of the quality of holiness is in your personal conduct. That's why we are to stand out as stars is in this dark place. When you see someone that does something outstanding, it stands out. Donald Trump stands out. I mean, you can find places where he's done all these things to help people for many, many years behind the scenes nobody knows about. You see why he stands where he does today and has the responsibility that he had, because even though he may not seem to be a holy guy, he's got a good heart. And he's a giver. God saw his heart and said, he will lead my people in the right way. He will help my people. He will not harm my people. Because for how long? 6,000 years now? Satan and his bunch have hurt God's people, killed many. All right. Pure of evil conduct and observant of God's will. Jesus said, if you love me, don't tell me you love me. Keep my commandments. Well, what is his commandments? God's word. All right. Let me look here. This is something Jesus said to the bunch in his day. This is Matthew 23. And you can turn there. Matthew 23. You know, it's not hard to be a Christian. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. But what I hear consistently out of Christians' mouths is, it's just so hard, it's so hard, it's so hard. Well, it's because you're trying to do it. You're struggling. You're not letting the Holy Ghost work in you. And you're judging yourself because, you know, you should never judge yourself, because we're all in different places of mind renewal, and we haven't all heard it all yet. All right, Matthew 23:23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, I don't need to read that part. Let me drop on down. Mom, where are you at? I'm in Matthew 23. Oh, that's 22. I'm sorry. I've been doing that lately. I've been kind of tired, I guess, and maybe I'm not. Anyway, but I'm being renewed, so thank you, Lord. 23. Now that's right. 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matter of the law. Have you ever seen cumin, the little tiny leaves? I mean, they letter of the law. And weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, these ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. He's talking about a man's heart, his thinking processes. See, that's why we have to renew our mind, because you have stinking thinking. The world has polluted your minds. Just face it, it's happened to all of us. And it takes the Word of God to clean up your thinking. And we're going to look at that in a minute so you'll understand. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So holiness comes from what? The inside out, not the outside. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're likened to white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! That's what a hypocrite is. It's a whitewashed wall that looks good on the outside, goes through all the formalities, but is inside just dead men's bones. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the day of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. In other words, all these whitewashed leaders killed all the prophets, God's true prophets that brought the word. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up in the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify. He was one of them. And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. So Jerusalem was in a sorry state. For some reason, they want to reject the ones that bring the true word of God, and they want to listen to the ones that are whitewashed tombs. That's the problem. Now I want to go over to Romans 12 right quick. And I think I brought this up the last time y'all were here. I think maybe Amber and Mady were here. A lot of people live and die, and they never know God's will for their life. They never know what God wants them to do. Well, I'm just a pinky finger in the body of Christ. Well, the pinky has a lot to do. They mean, well, I don't have, no, God hadn't called me to do nothing. Oh, well, yes, He has, because you're part of the body of Christ right here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Colossians says you're dead. He says you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So you present yourself as a living sacrifice. Why? So He can work in you and change you. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So why? Why do you need your mind renewed? You can't interpret the will until your mind's renewed. God's will for you cannot see it. It's coded, you could say, until your mind is renewed and you can see right here, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's why you read your Bible. Like it or not, understand it or not, doesn't make any difference. Your spirit man knows what it's talking about. And you begin to renew, your mind begins to change from the stuff that you've put in it, from the world, and you begin to see God's Word and it's and what it has for you. Once you begin to know what the Word of God says, then there comes a defined will of God into your life. In other words, what God has just called you personally to. And it's too bad. I mean, I was 40 before I began to realize. And the first time the Holy Spirit said to me that I was a teacher, you know, it just blew me away because I didn't think I was ever nothing because every church I ever been in, well, the only thing they ever recognized was men anyway. But I just thought God didn't call me to do nothing. I guess I was just going to have kids and be a wife and mother. But then one day somebody approached me about teaching in a Christian school and I said, I can't teach. And the Holy Spirit said inside of me, never say that again. Just like that. Never say that again. You know why? Because your words hold weight. And you can convince yourself and you can sabotage yourself and sabotage God's will in your life by saying, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I'll never do that. No, I'll never do that. Don't ever say that because it may be the exact thing that God, if you're saying that, that's probably the exact thing God's saying, no, I need to get your mind changed. Let's get your mind back thinking. And there'll be a day where finally you come in, your mind will be in line with what he says. You'll think, all right, Lord, I present my body as a living sacrifice. Whatever you want, I'll do it. If you're dead, it shouldn't matter. That's the problem. We're on the altar, but we're still squirming, trying to get up, trying to get away, trying to get out of God's will. All right. Organized religious practices are not what it's all about. It's about an intimate walk with God. And it's not about, like I've said, it's not about changing yourself. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit. I came into everything that God wanted me to do from reading my word every day and praying in the Holy Spirit. Everything. Yeah, I've had a few words here and there, but I don't count on those words unless they go along with what the Holy Spirit's spoken to me. So I get up 5 every morning, read my Bible, pray in the Spirit. I've done it since 1988. And the Lord began to work. And when you start, here's another key. When you start being about His business, He will be about your business. That's what seeking first the kingdom of God is all about. If you live your life for yourself and you get in a fix, you call out to God, He may come through, but that's not really the way it's supposed to be. It's like, seek ye first the kingdom and then all these things, what? All the things that come, He'll help you with because you have done what He said do. Recently, I had somebody ask me to pray for their son and their son was having surgery. I had did one of those colonoscopies and found a polyp. And I was praying about it, and the Lord said, when you take care of my business, I take care of your business. And I just told this lady that. And it turned out okay. But He does. He doesn't just leave us out there and hanging just to deal with ourselves and try to help ourselves. He absolutely has a plan to keep you walking the right way and always being good. You know, the devil comes and he brings his lies. I know the Lord said to me, you reap what you sow. And if you've sown to the Spirit, you need to expect to reap from the Spirit. Not from the flesh, not bad, not evil, but good. You should. All right. So holiness comes from the inside out. You know, a true Christian, nobody has to say, are you a Christian? Aren't there just some people, you just know it. You just know by their actions. Because inherently man, fallen man, is just evil. Born again Christian, you know, they get, if they will let the Holy Spirit work through their life, that stuff will just ooze out of them. It's not something they have to make an effort to do, to be nice to somebody or to love someone. We have the fruit of the Spirit. Love is not something else that you have to work at and strive at. The fruit of the Spirit, it's like having a fruit tree and that tree's out there straining to bear that fruit. It don't happen that way. It's in the tree. The fruit of the Spirit's in you, love, joy, peace, self-control. All of those things are in you. This is Christ in you. And as you keep seeking the kingdom first, you keep reading your word, praying in the Spirit, what happens? You bear fruit, God's fruit. It's His fruit. It's not your fruit. It's His fruit in you. It's His character in you. It's His holiness in you. Well, you know, New Year's resolution, you know, we're coming up on New Year's. I need to make some New Year's resolution. No, we need to walk by the fruit of the Spirit. And if you do, it's going to take care of any kind of excess you have in your life. This is not a tedious thing. It's by grace. God is doing it. He's doing it. You have to do your part, yes, but He's doing it. If I get it across to you today, let yourself off the hook. And if you don't think you're where you need to be, don't get on that bandwagon. Lord, I guess I'm just not quite where you want me to be yet. The blame game is a hard thing to get past. It's hard to have victory in any area or accomplish anything when you blame yourself. And it seems to me that's probably the biggest thing about Christians is they condemn themselves all the time. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the what? Flesh. There's the key. But after the Spirit. Somebody criticizes you, then the Word tells you about you. You say, well, who cares? Who are you? That's the way that I believe the Lord has brought me to, that you don't like the way I teach, what I wear, what I do. Who are you? That confidence that you have God in you, that He gives you, that you're okay. He loves you. You're okay. That's where we need to walk. Don't let anybody do that to you. All right. I have a lot more, but I think I'm going to stop there because I have another word.